It's Tuesday, August 1st. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show presented by Toyota. It's a hell of a day to talk ball, man, and joining me to do just that is the one and only Dalton Del Don. Dalton, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Harmon? I'm excited for the show. Just got back from Vegas. Of course, I hit up Lotus of Siam, the best Thai food in America. Tried the cotton candy faux gras at Bazaar Meat. It was so good, I had to get a second one. Checked out a Cirque du Soleil show. Most importantly, I effectively won $8 million signing up for Survivor. Played some futures bets. Got our guy Calvin Ridley at 50-1. Niners are just giving away money at 9-1. A few more that I'm sure I will talk ad nauseum to you about later. But I'm excited to talk about the new podcast, and I have some bets in me. So let's get started, dude.
I'm very excited. I'm definitely excited to track Dalton's Survivor journey all year. Hopefully all year long, buddy. We enjoyed doing that last year. Yeah. Can't wait to do it again this season. We have a great show here in front of us today. We're going to talk all the latest and greatest news and preview my draft season blueprint, a new feature for 2023. But first, yes, let's talk about it. New music, new art, and okay, the show name I was hyping up, it's not that different. So why make the change? Besides preventing Chris Harris from making fun of me whenever I go on his lovely podcast, well, to spin it back to last year when we decided to make me the full-time everyday host of the podcast, that change actually happened very quickly, kind of unexpectedly, and without much advanced planning. So we didn't want to go ahead and just change the show and the art all of the sudden on you as well. Also, by the way, probably wouldn't have had enough time to change everything before the start of football season. And as you can imagine, working at a big old corporation, things take time. The wheels turn sometimes a little slowly. So now is the time where we officially wanted to usher in the new era of the podcast. Forecast was admittedly a bit confusing. I was personally never that big a fan of quote forecast. So now that we're on YouTube, and we have the fantasy TikTok, we have the Yahoo Fantasy Instagram, which you should follow if you're on those platforms, by the way. This certainly feels like much more of a show than just a podcast. So we hope you like the new music. We hope you like the new art. We will, of course, have some fresh faces this year, as well as our old favorites, including myself, of course, Andy Behrens, Scott Pienowski, obviously Dalton Del Don, and I can officially say that my guy Austin Eckler will be back for another year of Eckler's Edge all season long, perhaps coming to you a little earlier than you were expecting, so watch out for that in a couple of weeks. Dalton, I'm going to say it, 2023, the best season ever.
It's a lot to take in, a lot of good news. Happy to hear Austin is returning. And yeah, we got a big August plan coming up too as well, yeah?
Yeah, we absolutely do. So yeah, let's talk about the August plan here real quick before we dive into the meat of the show. We actually put a lot of time into mapping out how draft season is going to go. And we're breaking things down into weeks here on the show, basically. So for example, this week is rankings week. Next week will be position preview week. And further we go into August. The goal here is to get you people out there, you people, and maybe us too, prepared for your drafts, assuming that most of you are going to be drafting around Labor Day weekend. So rankings week, our theme of this week, what exactly is it? The core of what we do as analysts each week is based around our rankings, for better or worse. And if you followed me for a long time, you know I have, I got my hangups about rankings. But basically what we're going to do is we're going to get into the specifics of ranking players, you know, kind of more of those discussions throughout the week. But first, we want to lay the foundation, right? What rankings are, how we make them, how you should be reading them, when to take them with a grain of salt, and why rankings can differ so much between each of us. Like, I know I go through the process differently than Dalton. Andy and Scott do it differently. So we'll get into all that. But for any foundation, you're going to need a blueprint. And that's why we're going to dive into my draft season blueprint later on in this episode. But first, Dalton, we have some news to discuss. Starting with the Colts and Jonathan Taylor situation has deteriorated since we last spoke. Scott and I talked about the Jim Irsay tweet, the agent tweeting back to him. But again, this situation has deteriorated since we last spoke. Jonathan Taylor met with remarkably online owner Jim Irsay one-on-one on his little tour bus outside of training camp. I don't know who the hell thought that was a good idea, but not so surprisingly, after that sit down, Jonathan Taylor requested a trade on Saturday. And then on Sunday, reports hit that the Colts were considering placing Jonathan Taylor on the non-football injury list, the NFI list, for a back injury sustained working out over the offseason. Notably, the NFI list would mean that Jonathan Taylor would not be paid his salary if he remains on the list into the season. Taylor followed up, of course, with a tweet. He said, one, never had a back pain. Two, never reported back pain. Not sure who, quote, sources are, but find new ones. Dalton, things are not well in Colts land between their best player. I have some thoughts on this, certainly, maybe even some expanded thoughts than what, you know, Scott and I talked about. But, buddy, what do we do about this?
I have no idea what to make of this. It certainly could get ugly if they do put him on this list withholding his salary and he's not truly injured, and he claims he's not. So I haven't moved him on my rankings. Seemingly every top running back has gotten bad news lately. Breece Hall might have to deal with Dalvin Cook, a couple other injuries. But yeah, holdouts as well. I mean, no one's happy with their contract, the top backs. But yeah, I'd love to hear your theory here, because to me, I just assume this is all going to get fixed in the next month and it's going to be fine. It's just a talking point now, but I don't know. If you look deeper, it could get ugly, and it just seems like systematically something's wrong here and the running backs are not happy.
Yeah, and of course I'm very excited to get Austin's thoughts about this when he's on the show, to the point that, like, I've seen him talking to other media outlets. I'm like, hey, save it for a couple of weeks, buddy. Come, let's talk about it on the show. But I think I just don't know what we do about this running back situation. My main thought yesterday, and I kind of tweeted about this and then ended up, you know, I just pulled a Dalton and just deleted the tweets and was like, no one needs this out there. It just feels bad that, and look, I know that people, you know, some of the indie beat writers are definitely, you know, you could say carrying water for the team right now. They're, you know, like trashing Jonathan Taylor and his agent in these columns. I will say I'm not super familiar with the inner workings of Jonathan Taylor's agent and his relationship with the Colts, but I am very sympathetic to the idea that over the last 2 years, the best player, certainly on offense for the Indianapolis Colts, has been Jonathan Taylor. And you could certainly say, when you look at Austin's situation, the best player on the field last year, most consistent player, guy reaching his ceiling on a weekly basis, was Austin Ekeler. You know, Saquon Barkley is certainly the best player for the Giants. Josh Jacobs, I mean, obviously they have Davante Adams, but he was a huge piece of why the Raiders were even functional last year. I realize that not all these teams were good consistently, and that's part of the discussion here, but it doesn't feel good, Dalton, that basically every time one of these running back thing kind of comes up, it's like, sorry, buddy. Like, we know you're one of our best players and one of our most marketable players, but like, kick rocks. This is the running back market. And like, we're just going to expect you to show up and get grinded into the dust here. And then we'll maybe franchise tag you next year. It's just, I'm with you that I think that's probably what happens here. I don't think anybody is trading anything significant with Jonathan Taylor. As Ekeler has pointed out, it's a little weird that these teams have these high demands in trade compensation, but then don't want to pay, you know, the salary. That doesn't really square with the value part of it. But I don't think anybody's trading anything significant for Taylor. I don't think that the Colts are interested in trading him. So I think he's going to be there. I think he's playing for the team. It's just so crazy that, like, we're in this place with the running back contract situation, and obviously one of the best and youngest, you know, kind of stars of the position is now dealing with it in Indy.
Yeah, specifically Taylor, too. He's so important to this Colts offense. I mean, what, 1 year removed from 2,300 yards, 20 touchdowns. Anthony Richardson has fewer than 400 career pass attempts in college. I mean, they're going to rely on Taylor heavily. He's one of the few backs. I mean, the point spread would legitimately move a point and a half if they downgraded to Zach Moss. I mean, so, yeah, I hope Taylor gets compensated properly and fixes this for himself and also fantasy managers, because this situation feels like it's going to be a yearly occurrence, you know, if it doesn't get changed. I know it's weird because the CBA signed and all that. So I'm not saying it is going to get fixed, but boy, this seems like it's going to be a recurring problem if it doesn't.
It's just a little weird when, like, you know, no shade to Cole Kmet, who's like a solid, you know, tight end. Yeah. And obviously tight ends are on the, like, t- tight ends age better than running backs, even to the point that some of these tight ends are just better on their second contracts, when typically the running back second contract thing has been a bad bet of late. Although it's not like anybody's complaining about some of the, like, Derrick Henry's value to the Titans, or like Nick Chubb, or you know, McCaffrey, right? Like those guys are certainly worth the money they're being paid. But it just feels a little weird that, you know, like Saquon Barkley has to, you know, have a couple of like incentives to get up from the franchise tag, and that brings him in. And then Cole Kmet's like, yeah, we're throwing $13 million a year at that guy or whatever. And it just, like, again, if you think of the face of the Giants, right? You think of Saquon Barkley. The face of the Colts the last years has been Jonathan Taylor. And then it's like, okay, Cole Kmet is certainly not like the face of the league or anything like that. So I get that's not what contract negotiations are, but it feels like in a couple of years we're, whether this is like a CBA thing that gets worked out, Dalton, or what, or like, you know, quote, the market works itself out. Like, I think some team is going to be like, you know what, actually, this is a really good ball player and we're going to pay him. But right now, I think we are kind of stuck in this no man's land. And if this gets sorted out without an official like CBA loophole or something like that, it is going to happen in a couple of years, not here in 2023.
And I still think it's a long, or not a long shot, but I'd still say it's less than 50% guys like Taylor, Jacobs do miss games voluntarily. I still think it's unlikely, yeah. but man, it's certainly a situation to monitor, and it's going to affect their ADP, no doubt.
Yeah, and look, the Colts offense is no doubt going to be built around the run game this year. You know, that's another thing that's so crazy. Like, do you want to do that, like build around the run game with Zach Moss or Jonathan Taylor? I mean, Zach Moss is like a fine player, but, you know, and he had some moments last year. But again, you just can't convince me that coaches who sit there all the time and talk about how important the run game is, and, you know, we got to establish the run. And I think it was a huge theme to last year. These teams that could run the ball really well and form that counterpunch, like, that was really important. You've got the Bills talking about, we got to be better running the ball, you know, so we don't have to put so much on Josh Allen's plate. And obviously the running game ecosystem goes deeper than the running back himself, but it's just like, my God, you can't tell me that Jonathan Taylor is just not important. Like, oh, we could just do whatever, the same thing with Zach Moss. I just don't believe that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I agree with you. I think I'm not moving Taylor in my rankings. He definitely has some warts in his profile, regardless of this whole situation. Like, how much receiving work is he going to get? You know, the injuries and stuff like that. But for now, I've kind of kept him where he is. And look, maybe we get on this podcast now that we're doing it 5 days a week. We get on here tomorrow and we've got a new Jonathan Taylor Frosty update to share. That is very possible. But for now, I think it's just a situation to monitor, not actually change your rankings for. Let's talk about another situation at running back that is unfolding. Dalvin Cook parades around New York Jets practice all weekend. There is mutual interest. It kind of seems like he's his only suitor. I saw right now as we were recording that Tom Pelissero, you know, asked Dalvin Cook's agent about, hey, how did the Jets visit go? And he basically responded with, you'll see. So it kind of seems like this is going to happen. Meanwhile, Robert Saleh says that Breece Hall could practice in a couple of weeks is his expectation. And Connor Hughes, SNY's Connor Hughes, expects that Michael Carter would be the odd man out if the Jets sign free agent Dalvin Cook.
Boy, I hope this doesn't happen for personal reasons. I've been hyping Hall, and I have a few shares of him in a couple leagues with not so small buy-ins. If he does sign, and it sounds increasingly likely, although not for sure, everyone, the community is kind of treating it like it's a foregone conclusion, and maybe it is, but Cook still desires the most to end up in Miami. But yeah, man, of all the teams, the other teams are not spending the position, and now New York wants to spend this much on, I mean, he's Dalvin Cooked. He looked like last year. He was really, really bad in the rush yards over expectation. Maybe the shoulder surgery corrected that, but Breece Hall is a budding star, and if he falls to the fifth, sixth rounds of fantasy drafts, if and when Cook signs there, then giddy up, and he's your league winner there at that portion of the draft. So I wouldn't like it for personal reasons. Obviously, people who have Ramondre Stevenson don't want him to go to New England. Miami would be probably the best fit for fantasy managers. But yeah, it looks like the favorites right now are the Jets, and possibly a lot with Aaron Rodgers doing too. You know, he completely restructured his contract, and he's, you know, bragging about how players want to play with him. So yeah, it does look like they are the favorites, and that would, yeah, it could mess up things, even if he doesn't perform great. Just the fact that he will still touches from Breece Hall, it looks like you're gonna have to be increasingly patient if you do draft Hall, who looks like he's healthy and he's supposed to be back to cutting in the next 2-3 weeks, they said. So he looks good to go. And he just recorded him 23 miles per hour in the GPS. Sorry, I wanted to add that in. Hall looks good to go. Led the led all backs in air yards last year while playing 6.5 games as a rookie. I mean, that's insane. Christian McCaffrey ran 250 more routes and finished with fewer air yards. And now he has Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, who loves targeting running backs and targeting them downfield. So, I mean, come on, man. Don't mess up this Breece Hall situation. He was my clear pick to be the number one fantasy pick in all drafts next year.
Yeah, I'm just going back and doing my projections this last couple weeks. It was sort of remarkable to, one, remember Breece Hall's receiving usage, as we've talked about, like on Stat Nerd Thursday, we would talk often about like his air yards per target and stuff like that, and how it was very prime David Johnson-esque, his receiving usage. And then coupling that with some of the seasons that Aaron Jones would have as a pass catcher and like the connection that him and Rodgers would have. I agree. It's so easy to get excited about Breece Hall. And like, they've gotten solid moments out of Michael Carter. They got solid moments out of Zonovan Knight last year. You know, like, it is interesting, as you say, to juxtapose this with the entire league not wanting to spend resources at running back. And I guarantee whatever Cook is asking for and whatever the Jets are offering, there's a big gap between those. I would guarantee it. But still, is Dalvin Cook signing up to be a bit player? So basically, if I read you correctly, whatever the discount is for Breece Hall in relation to this news, you're going to be willing to take that discount. If that's the case, Dalton, I think we're on the same page here, because I think that a younger, more explosive, even if he's coming off an injury, you know, younger, more explosive running back, it's different when, for example, like DeAndre Hopkins goes to Tennessee and like there's a dip on Treylon Burks's outlook. Like, I think that's a different situation that I'm not willing to necessarily explore that value proposition as much as I am for the running back example here in New York.
Yeah, totally. I'm frustrated as someone who lost closing line value with Breece Hall as a couple third round picks. Still even more excited moving forward if Breece Hall becomes a fourth, fifth round, sixth round availability if Cook is there. Yes, all in on Hall still. At this stage of his career, Cook is just going to do fantasy managers a favor by making him cheaper in drafts. I think that's a real possibility.
All right, elsewhere in Jets news, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers, in an interview with Pete Schrager on the NFL Network, responded to Sean Payton, who has since apologized for his comments, saying he had, quote, his Fox hat on. But anyways, Rodgers responded to the comments that he made about Nathaniel Hackett in an interview with Pete Schrager, like I mentioned. Rodgers said he, being Nathaniel Hackett, is arguably my favorite coach I've ever had in the NFL. It made me feel bad that someone being Sean Payton, who's accomplished a lot in the league, is that insecure that they have to take another man down to set themselves up for some sort of easy fall if it doesn't go well for that team this year. Rodgers continued saying, I thought it was way out of line, inappropriate, and I think he needs to keep my coach's name out of his mouth. It's worth noting the Jets and Broncos play in week 5 this year, so they'll be able to hash this out on the field. But, you know, Dalton, if the people don't remember, basically the long and short of it is that Sean Payton said that was the worst coaching job in the NFL last year. Others have said that Sean Payton like watched the Broncos offense and said he couldn't even evaluate any players because he just didn't know what the hell Nathaniel Hackett was doing. Said the Broncos were embarrassed last year. My thoughts on this have actually, because you're allowed to do this, by the way, you're allowed to evolve your thoughts with time. My thoughts on this have kind of changed from when Scott and I talked about it on the last podcast, where I was like, man, I love to hear Sean Payton. Look, I love to see coaches speak in their mind. But at the same time, I'm also kind of on Rodgers' side here that this was a little much from Sean Payton. By the way, a guy who basically quit on the Saints. You know, we forget that part of it because our memories are like as long as a goldfish. He retired from coaching the Saints, and we all knew it was just to get the hell out of New Orleans and go to wherever he wanted next, which, okay, that's your right to do, but we're kind of throwing bars at a guy in Nathaniel Hackett who, I know what Peyton's doing. He's trying to take the blame off his players and hype up his players, but, you know, a lot of people are the collateral there, one being Nathaniel Hackett and basically everybody that was involved. By the way, some people that are still on the Broncos, right? The GM, the team president got blasted in this. So I don't know, Dalton. Obviously, we're not adjusting fantasy rankings for this, right? But I don't know. What are your thoughts on Rodgers' response to Payton or Payton himself?
Well, one thing I'll say about Hackett is there are many coaches in the NFL that are failures at head coaches, but can succeed as coordinators. So like they can both be right here, actually. And I get that Rodgers is probably a lot of personal stuff with him. But Peyton, yeah, you're right. It was a little too harsh, but at the same time, it was kind of funny and created some drama. Yeah. And I guess this is totally the way Sean Payton is. If you listen to Schrager's been saying that, you know, he's loving him as a commentator. And he would just talk off the cuff like this to him and tell him all kinds of things. So also Peyton said, hold my beer to our guy, Mike McDaniel. I don't know if you've seen that photo of him during the offseason. But the guy likes to party, but so not shocked that he's speaking like this. But anyway, it's just off-season chatter, and I love to see that they're scheduled to face each other this year's basically. I mean, I guess slightly I'm like, oh, maybe Russell Wilson, you know, he's buying into the Peyton, he's got rid of the chef, and maybe it was the adults are in the room now. So you said you didn't adjust any rankings, but I kind of was like, maybe Peyton's onto something and Russell Wilson is 5% more likely to bounce back this year. But maybe I'm dumb.
No, I think. Look, he's certainly set up well, and that's the thing, right? Like, I'm totally in on coaches speaking their mind. Like, we hate when they just give us nothing, right? But and then he gives us literal gold like this. We've got to be in on that, okay? But it's just, I think a lot of it is to make the point to Russell Wilson and the entire team, like, hey, you got a fresh start here with me, right? And regardless of your opinion about Sean Payton or your opinion on Nate Hackett, like, it's just objectively true that Sean Payton is one of the best offensive coaches in the NFL, period, and Nathaniel Hackett is not in his class as a coach. I think obviously the comments went pretty far, but that's just objectively true that he's likely to bounce back because Payton is there. But also, if you're Sean Payton and you got to know he's thinking this way too, if Russell Wilson doesn't bounce back, he's going to just kick him to the curb after this year anyways. Like, this is Sean Payton's show. So I think he can have it both ways here, basically, Ken Sean Payton.
Yeah, Stidham. It might be a Stidham show later, actually. Deep sleeper in Superflex leagues. Payton liked him, made him the highest paid backup, I believe. So, but anyway, I think they're going to be a much more well-run organization this year. As Payton pointed out, they were the second worst in pre-snap penalties last year on both sides of the ball. Yeah. That's bad.
Right, and that does come down to coaching, some of the preparation stuff. And like, yeah, not great. Okay, training camp is back. As you know, and of course, that means injuries are back. Literally, like right after we finished taping Thursday's podcast, a bunch of injury news broke, including a pretty big one. Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow avoided the worst. It looked much worse looking at the video from Bengals practice, but Joe Burrow did strain his calf Thursday afternoon. He's expected to miss some time in camp, but will be ready to go for the regular season. He's expected to be out there week one. Dalton, I know at different points of the offseason, you'd had Jamar Chase as your number one overall receiver. Do you still feel that way with this Joe Burrow injury, or is it just like, okay, he dodged a bullet, we're all good to go here with the Bengals?
Yeah, I have Chase and Jefferson incredibly close. Wouldn't fault anyone for going either way or treating this as a tiebreaker. I left Chase as my number one receiver because it sounds like Burrow is good to go. Thankfully, I certainly feared that was a popped Achilles when I saw it. But yeah, as long as he's expected to be ready for week one, it's a pocket passer, I think I'm fine to leave Chase as my number one. Certainly shouldn't fall past Jefferson, even with this injury news by Burrow, but boy, caught a break there, because that'd have been a disaster. After losing him to a knee and then an Achilles, that would have just been rough for, I mean, so many fantasy managers or going to be relying on this Cincinnati roster, which, by the way, could be the final year they're able to keep everyone together, I believe. Isn't Higgins going to get expensive? This and Mixon took that pay cut. I think this could be a special year for the Bengals offense, because they will not be all together. They will not be able to afford all these stars beyond this season.
Yeah, Tyler Boyd is a free agent after this year too. And the Bengals are just a different organization, man. You know, I'm not getting on the whole like, oh, Mike Brown is cheap or anything like that, but it is very possible that they don't want to bend over backwards to do some of the stuff like the Chargers have. I mean, the Chargers get accused of being cheap, but like how much money they've pushed into future years, how much restructuring they have done, how much cash like some of these teams are throwing around in order to get things all figured out and everything. The Bengals might not be willing to do that to keep one quarterback and two receivers together. Like, so that's the big thing. You're right. This might be the last time. It is definitely setting up to be a special season in Cincinnati. So I'm with you, Burrow, though. It sounds like he avoided the worst, and like we're still good to go with this Bengals offense. This might specifically not be like a fantasy one, but I did want to touch on Dolphins cornerback Jalen Ramsey had knee surgery on Friday after what was reportedly a meniscus tear sustained defending Tyreek Hill in practice. He's likely going to be out until deep into the season. The Dolphins, kind of funny, speaking of Tyreek Hill, signed cornerback Eli Apple, formerly of the Bengals, to a one-year contract. Hill and Apple have some history in the NFL, so that'll be interesting in practice. But look, you know, you just went to Vegas, right? Dalton, and like I'm sure you threw out some team bets. I know there's a lot of excitement about the Dolphins, but I think this team is very, very fragile. Like, I think this team could be great. I think the upside is there for them if everything works out perfectly with Vic Fangio taking over the defense, and obviously like if Tua stays healthy. But we know the Tua situation. Jalen Ramsey is injured now. This was a secondary that was problematic last year at times. Different scheme again. I understand that, but they're pretty light. Like depth wise, they're very top heavy in stars, but like they've got two receivers that matter. Their receiver depth is not great. They don't have a pass catching tight end. Their running back room is kind of shaky with two veterans. The offensive line's still not fully fixed. We know Tua is like an injury risk as well. I don't know. I could see the Dolphins being one of those teams you need to get right this year, but I could also see them being a very volatile operation. And it's just kind of like jogged my memory of talking with Scott about that a few weeks ago.
Couple thoughts. First off, week one, Chargers Dolphins was already the highest over under of the slate. So DFS, that's only going to help. No Jalen Ramsey. And secondly, you know me so well, Harmon, I bet on Tua. Actually got him earlier this summer at 22-1 to lead the league in passing. It was down to 12-1 when I was there over the weekend at some spots. Their defense struggling may only help that. So healthy Tua and that concentrated offense. You just look at the stats they put up together. Do you realize that Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle caught all whatever like 15 of their touchdowns last year with Tua, and zero touchdowns in the six games without him? So we just need Tua to stay healthy. And obviously he's going to regress from the 8.9 YPA like every passer does the following year. But man, he can regress like 20% and still lead the league in yards per attempt. So indoors that week one and for the year, Tua to lead the league in yardage, I would be happy with that outcome.
Yeah. I think that's possible, but the fragility of this team does scare me a little bit too.
It could go bad, but it could. And it needs, they're relying on some key players to stay healthy, no doubt.
Next thing here, Seahawks running back, very banged up. Kenneth Walker is sidelined from Seahawks practice with a groin injury right now. Pete Carroll kind of made it sound like Walker could be sidelined a decent amount of time as a team waits for the issue to, quote, quiet down. Pete Carroll, we know, famously forthright and honest with injuries. Meanwhile, Zach Charbonnet, the rookie running back, is out indefinitely with a shoulder injury. This was expected to be a really exciting running back competition. Now it's kind of, you know, we'll see what happens. Fellow rookie Kenny McIntosh and DJ Dallas are the top remaining guys. Dalton, I love the Seahawks offense this year. I was in on drafting potentially both of these guys, you know, on different teams. Now this is pretty concerning, and you know, we're not sure how this is going to play out. It's kind of familiar to last year when the rookie Zach Charbonnet is, you know, Kenneth Walker was banged up entering last season as well. So if Walker can get back out there and have a hot start like your guy Rashad Penny did last year, maybe that puts some distance between him and Charbonnet during the season.
I know we're going to talk about Seattle's offense later, but I'm so in on them as well. This is just so tough because of the Carroll factor. You just really don't know. So we're just all kind of guessing here until we get some clarity on the situation. For all we know, Walker's injury could be worse. I mean, it doesn't sound like it, and hopefully not. I have not dropped him down too much with the Charbonnet addition, although Charbonnet is one of the best RB2s to grab too. So love this offense. We just need to wait for some clarity here. We'd just be guessing because Pete Carroll, who knows? You know, if you look at his past, his quotes are hilarious. Sometimes it sounds like the guy's going to be out a day and he's out months. So really, we're all just guessing here. But it's obvious it was very surprising and just sudden that both backs are shelved indefinitely. Very, very jarring.
Yeah, it's going to be one to watch. Kenny McIntosh, I remember... at least I think I remember. Again, this feels like a billion years ago at this point. I remember Charles McDonald on our podcast talking about like him as a potential like receiving back, and you know, a guy who might be sort of like a James White-ish type of player. I think I remember that correctly, but you can go back and listen to the running back draft prospect episode to learn more about Kenny McIntosh. So, you know, if these guys are hurt for a long time, or especially like Charbonnet was supposed to be kind of helpful in the screen game, maybe McIntosh ends up being a guy to watch this preseason and see how he performs. Okay. Some quick hitters, little roundup here before we get out of the news section. Dalton, you can kind of pick any of these that you want to react to here in depth. Patriots are visiting with running back Ezekiel Elliott. He was spotted out to dinner with Mac Jones. Speaking of Patriots, former Patriot and current Rams running back Sony Michel retired. Royce Freeman was signed to fill his roster spot. Kyler Murray, ACL, obviously, he's on the PUP. He remains without a timeline for return. We don't know when we're going to see him. My guy Sterling Shepard was activated off the PUP by the New York Giants. You can book him for three games with double-digit targets this year, no matter how long he plays. The Colts also announced on Monday morning that Anthony Richardson, rookie quarterback, had a nose procedure on Sunday to correct his nasal spectrum. He's not going to miss more than a few days, but something worth monitoring. And then literally as we were taping here, Dalton, two pieces of news broke. One, James Palmer from the NFL Network reported that a potential big injury occurred in Denver. The second play of 7-on-7, Broncos wide receiver Tim Patrick went down with a non-contact injury coming off the line. He threw his helmet immediately. Looks like they were looking at his lower left leg. He is being carted off. Again, this is happening like right now, 5 minutes ago. You know, Tim Patrick was injured last year in camp, tore his ACL, missed the entire season. And then Mike Garafolo, also the NFL Network, reported that Colts running back Zach Moss suffered a broken arm at practice today. Sources say he's expected to miss about 6 weeks. We know the Colts running back room is already kind of up in the air. So a lot of things happening as we're taping here, Dalton. Any of these kind of catch your eye?
Terrible news about Tim Patrick. You mentioned Sterling Shepard. I got to mention Jalen Hyatt is making some highlight plays in practice. An interesting guy. I've moved up a little bit. You may have to be patient with these rookie receivers, but he's making some noise. And the only other one really is Kyler Murray's timetable is something I'm so interested in. I just wrote about Hollywood Brown, just such an intriguing mid-round fantasy target outside the top 100 in Yahoo leagues. Hollywood was top 10 in expected fantasy points per game last year among pass catchers. He was actually a top 10 fantasy receiver when Hopkins was off the field. Hopkins is gone. He was on pace to finish with the fourth most targets last year without Hopkins. So it may end up being Clayton Toon, but if we can have Kyler Murray the second half with Marquise Brown just a target hog, I think he looks like one of the best value picks among wide receivers.
I love that. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think Marquise Brown is underrated, like as a real life receiver. I think
and
he's
you
a
like
good
him
player.
Too. Exactly. That's the other thing. He's not just targets. He's earning them. You think he's actually a good real life route runner.
Yeah, good zone beater. He's got his problems against press man coverage, which obviously is a little interesting. I think Michael Wilson, the rookie receiver on that team, is a big time sleeper because people are like, oh, yeah, Rondale Moore is going to be the other outside receiver. Yeah, I don't know about that. Like, I don't know if they're having two guys on the outside that are as small as the, especially Rondale Moore has not really played a ton of real wide receiver. He could be a slot guy, but Michael Wilson's like plus, he's like 6'2", plus 210 pounds. Like, he's a guy to really keep your eye on. But I agree with you, like, as their flanker receiver, Marquise Brown could absolutely pile up targets this year. I think the Tim Patrick one is interesting for me, again, because this happened right around this time last year, man. It's crazy for Tim Patrick. Really hope that really hope he avoids the worst case here. But if it is the worst case, it's definitely going to force me to adjust a little bit on the Broncos receivers, because I think part of my reason for not being in on Jerry Jeudy is this room I think is way too crowded and he's not good enough to command that like alpha level target share. But if this room thins out a little bit because of injuries, just like it did last year, maybe I have to adjust at least a little bit about my Jeudy pessimism.
The excuses are already rolling in, Harmon. It's all right. It's all right.
Gosh. Whatever. I still, hey, Drake London versus Jerry Jeudy. People hate me on that one, but that is still officially on the board for you and I.
Yeah, and I honestly moved London one spot ahead of Jeudy on that one. And I think I'm kind of coming. So yeah, I know.
Does that mean I already win?
Yeah, I mean, I'm back and forth on that. I've been meaning to tell you that one. I'm like, dude, I'm not even like a, it's not exactly Gabe confidence that I had last year. But yeah, I think those are close. But Tim Patrick going down may help me in my bet for sure.
Yeah, well, the excuse is already rolling in for both of us here, clearly. Yeah, so we're off to we're off to a hot start in draft season. Speaking of draft season, we are going to talk about and preview my draft season blueprint. But we're going to do that right after this break. All right, Dalton, like I mentioned, this year, I'm working on a new piece, hopefully an annual feature if all goes well. And, you know, I don't get fired. Fingers crossed. That would be disappointing. It's basically the draft season blueprint, kind of taking like a wide angle view. This piece I'm writing for the site next week, trying to just parse out everything, you know, from the top to the bottom, like macro to micro in terms of what you need to know about draft season this year. I'm going to be doing it with a lot of help from you guys too, and be like linking out to different pieces. Like, hey, here's what Dalton thinks about, you know, what quarterback rankings get wrong. Here's Scott's like mistakes that people make. Andy's thoughts on our mock draft. You know, that it's all going to be kind of like one place to find a bunch of different opinions. It's a lot of what I love about doing this podcast, right? Like, you and I don't view everything the same way. You and I, Scott and I certainly don't agree on everything. And same with Barron's too. So I kind of try to mimic the feel that people get from this show in this article. So you're going to sit here and help me do some of my work, basically, Dalton. You're going to help me prep for this. I want to go through some of the themes that I'm hitting on for this article, starting off with just table setting for 2023. Big picture thoughts about fantasy drafts this year. So when you think like themes of the season, Dalton, what are a few that come to your mind?
Structurally, I would say the theme is how you address the quarterback position is an interesting one, because I think all three are viable. If you take a Hurts in the second round, I think it's totally, totally acceptable in these terms. There are quarterbacks who run like crazy, and then there's a tier that does not. I also think mid rounds, if you can get Fields, that's actually my ideal strategy.
Yeah.
But also, if you want to shoe the quarterback position like old school, you don't play in super flex, I think it's totally fine. We'll talk about Geno Smith here in a second. Brock Purdy right now is ECR is QB 25. I mean, I'm sure that's going to raise now with this news, but quarterback, to me, you need to know what you want, kind of what your plan is at the quarterback position. Certainly in Superflex, that adds a ton more strategy, and I love that even more. But I think these are real viable strategies. You can go quarterback round two, quarterback in the middle rounds, or just completely wait and then be the old strategy of the last to draft your first quarterback, but the first to draft your backup, and kind of load up on a couple or two, three there. So, I mean, everyone knows, yes, draft receivers early, go crazy. Running backs looked for a while there like, oh, maybe there's going to be some running backs that aren't the typical dead zone available in the two or three rounds. But now with all these question marks and these contracts and the injuries, it's probably going to go down to, once again, attack receivers early and the tight end position. Boy, I'm over that, and I'm waiting on that as well. So that's my general thoughts.
I kind of feel the same way about the tight end stuff. Like I'm that's the position I'm going to probably wait on, especially because Dalton, like coming into this this draft season, my thought was, okay, I am 100% like a Hurts in the second, third round, you know, one of those early quarterbacks, because I have enjoyed the last few years. Like, I feel like all of my good teams last year had Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts. And then that was it. Like, all of my good teams had those guys. And I'm willing to pay the sticker price to do it this year. I'm willing to kind of put myself out there and just assure I get one of those guys. But then I think about it, right? Because every action has a reaction, an equal and opposite reaction. And for sure, if you take in one of those early guys, I also don't want to wait on my receiver room a ton. I love the way Andy put it in our mock draft recap that it gets late early at receiver. I want to make sure my receiver core has at least like two guys I feel like are alpha receivers on good offenses. I also want to have at least one anchor running back. That's a little tough to pull off if I'm also assuring that I want one of those early quarterbacks. So the fact that you said maybe it is still okay to wait, maybe it is, you know, the mid-round guys like a Justin Fields type, that is making me think twice about what I want out of the quarterback position this year.
I mean, Jared Goff threw for 4,500 yards, 29 touchdowns last year, and he's not even a top 15 QB. If you just started him just at home, you were getting top five numbers. Our guy, Sam Howell, there's so many sleepers. I mean, what if Stafford is healthy and their defense is just an abomination, and he has to, he'll throw 30 plus touchdowns. Russell Wilson in that environment with suddenly the worst coaching situation to top three coaching situation. So Anthony Richardson, his ECR right now is crazy low, 18th. I mean, look at his rushing ability. I mean, if he just stays healthy, his floor is a top 12 fantasy QB, even as raw as he is as a passer. So that said, I'm all for going and grabbing Hurts in round two with the upside there, getting all the goal line carries. But yeah, I really think there are multiple viable strategies to attack the QB position in fantasy this year.
Yeah, obviously, like I said, next week is our positional preview week. And actually, you are on the books for the quarterback episode. So we probably shouldn't go too deep into this one, considering we'll talk about this again in less than a week. But yeah, man, I think that is the hopefully I want to have a real answer about what I want to do about quarterbacks by the time we do that episode. Because again, I thought, hey, I want to be ahead of this and I want to be in on the elite quarterbacks. Because I thought that was the move last year, that was like a standout. It, you know, there was a not like a market inefficiency, I guess, or whatever with quarterbacks last year, like elite level quarterbacks. This year, there's certainly not one, but I haven't decided if I want to jump back on the train or not. So you're getting my gears turned about that. But again, I do think that's probably the biggest table setting, big picture thought for the year is how do you approach quarterback? And then how does that cause you to approach the other positions? So definitely writing that one down, Dalton, to use in my piece for next week. But let's move on to another theme here. One of the headers in the piece, you know, I can't write like a big wide view fantasy piece and not talk about ecosystems. So I want to talk about what are the best fantasy ecosystems and everybody out there drink. Of course, a few that I love, Dalton, and I'm curious about which ones you are really into. Here's four that I've got. Philly, again, I think Philadelphia is absolutely a great fantasy ecosystem again. I think Jacksonville can be like the Philadelphia of last year, a very concentrated offense with very talented players that come at a bit of a discount. I love them. The 49ers, your Niners, I think are obviously a great fantasy ecosystem. And I know you and I are on the same page about the Seattle Seahawks, who I also think are a potentially great fantasy ecosystem this year. The receivers, of course, but even Geno is a late round quarterback. We'll see what the running back situation kind of shakes out as. So those are four fantasy ecosystems I really love, Dalton. Are there any on my list that you also like or disagree with? And what are some that you like?
First, I just want to add to your Seahawk love here. Jackson Smith and Jigba averaged a mere 192 yards the last time we saw him healthy. He was generating 32% of Ohio State's receiving yards despite sharing the field with Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. And when they were out, we put up 350 yards and three scores in a bowl game they missed. JSN is the same three-cone time as Christian McCaffrey. Now he's in Shane Waldron's slot role with Cooper Kupp role. He used to coach as the Rams. Geno led the league in completion percentage above expectation by a mile last season. I bet on him at 30-1 to win MVP. I mean, the MVP winner is almost invariably a quarterback from a top seed. You look at the NFC, it's going to be the Niners, Seahawks, Eagles, Cowboys. It's very much more likely that they will run away with the NFC than, say, the loaded AFC. So I think Geno is going to have an even bigger year this year. Those three wide receivers, they're loaded. Obviously, you love Lockett as well and Metcalf. So all in on that one. The other two, real quickly, Ravens, if they really do start spreading out that offense, I'm still all in on J.K. Dobbins. I know it's another running back with a weird situation right now, unhappy, I think, more with his contract situation than his health. But, man, if they truly do run a more up-tempo offense and pass more and run the spread, the Ravens could be a sick ecosystem as well.
They'll be featured prominently in this piece. I will promise you that. I love the Ravens offense. Love the change there. Let me ask you about this one because I included this team in my teams you need to get right this year article, and that will be featured a little bit in this blueprint piece. How do you feel about the Browns as a great fantasy ecosystem and one that I think will come at a decent bit of a value? Obviously not Nick Chubb, but everybody else.
No idea what to make of it just because of Deshaun Watson. I just don't know the player we're going to see. There's also the wind factor that seems to always hit this team in the fantasy playoffs. Nick Chubb, actually, his production fell after Deshaun Watson took over last year. I know everyone expects him to be more of a receiver without Kareem Hunt, but Ford may take over that role. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm worried about what player Deshaun Watson is. Is he going to be a top three quarterback? I know the answer is probably somewhere in between, or is he going to be a bottom tier quarterback like he was last year? We both love Elijah Moore, but we're both skeptical on Amari Cooper. So I guess I'm a little less excited about them just because of the uncertainty at Watson.
That's why I think they make a great like team you need to get right. Like, you have to make a stand. If you believe that Deshaun Watson is going to bounce back to elite form, Elijah Moore is a hell of value. Amari Cooper's a value at this point, because I think he had his best season last year and he's going later than where he finished. Right. Because of the Watson uncertainty, Nick Chubb, I think you got to draft him high, but he could even outkick that. He could be the running back one overall this year.
Highest yards per carry in NFL history, minimum 300 rushes. Yeah. So higher than Bo Jackson. It's insane. He's so, so good. And if he gets a few more targets, it would be Yahtzee. He has the range of outcomes to finish as the number one fantasy back this year. No question. So, if Deshaun Watson improves, or pretty good coaching as well in Joku. I mean, they are loaded. The upside is there.
Yeah, the upside's there. That's why they make sense as like a team you need to get right. And I'm not really sure what stand I'm going to take there on the Browns. That is an evolving conversation. Let's talk some strategy thoughts here, Dalton. I like drafting off tiers. That's my one thing. But I will openly admit that strategy is the weakest part of my fantasy game by far. So any strategy thoughts from you, Dalton, or anything that you are kind of like hard and fast on in terms of from a strategic perspective?
No, other than this, the quarterback one I mentioned and that I briefly mentioned, tight ends. I always talk myself into, oh, this is the year these top tight ends are going to produce. And you could easily, you don't even have to squint to see Hawkinson's second half and talk yourself into a monster season from him and Andrews. And I always love Pitts, but and even Darren Waller's catching everything in Giants camp. Kittle, yeah. How many touchdowns did he catch in the second half with Purdy? So you could talk yourself into this, but I'm personally not, and I'm just going to be the guy to grab a few Trey McBride, Hayden Hurst, Irv Smith late in my draft. So my strategy is to pretty much ignore tight end through 10 rounds.
I still think that the one strategic thing that I like to do is I do like to make my roster kind of complementary of each other, where if and especially at the receiver position, right, if I have one of these George Pickens types, I think he's going to be a poster boy for this year, where he could have like 120 yards and two touchdowns. He could just as easily have two catches for 30 yards. Like that volatile receiver with the big range of outcomes. If I'm going to have one of those on my team, I want to have two like secure bets at my first two receiver spots. Even if it's a lower ceiling, you know, slot compiler type. I like to make my roster flow together like that. It's a little more difficult within other positions, but receiver is an easy one to do that with.
Yeah, I like that. You bring up George Pickens. I heard P&L give me a hard time for taking my guy JSN over Pickens in our mock draft. Come on now. Come on. That 8 days a week, you're taking JSN over Pickens. Come on now.
I mean, Scott is so wrong about a lot of things that we talked about on that episode where we're
but that was the most egregious, but that was the worst. Is that the worst?
He's a Pickens over DJ guy, you know, Deontay Johnson. And unfortunately that's just not going to end well for him. It's going to be tough when Allen Robinson has more catches than George Pickens. I can't tell like what percentage I'm joking when I say that. Obviously if it happens, I was 100% serious, but if it doesn't happen, I was maybe 25% serious. So that we'll go with that.
Yeah, I like it. It would be funny if I overdrafted him last year. I was wrong on him. Partially blame you on that one. You're on board.
You
steered me right on the Gabe Davis, but you were with me on Robinson. But the slot may just be perfect for him. I don't think he's going to be super fantasy relevant in that offense, but he may be relevant enough to really hurt guys like Pickens.
Yeah, all my friends, like I went golfing with a couple weeks ago, they're still giving me like for things I got, you know, wrong last year in fantasy. And, you know, one of my friend Ryan completely blames me. Everything is my fault. So that's cool. Love to see his accountability there. Although we're both in agreement that you really screwed him, actually, Dalton, from listening to the podcast. But the one thing that I was like, no, you can't blame me for that. You can't blame me for that. I was like, you can blame me for Allen Robinson, though. Okay. Like, and Elijah Moore. I couldn't have seen that one coming. He was going to get a fight with his team. But like the Allen Robinson thing, I will wear. That's my fault. And my friends can be mean to me about Allen Robinson. That's perfectly acceptable.
And the answer for the Steelers offense is Freiermuth, actually. I think he's a good target this year.
I like almost everybody in the Steelers offense, so I can't wait to be wrong about that and hate watch Matt Canada's offense for 17 games again.
No doubt.
All right. Speaking of Scott and things that Scott is actually challenging me on here, what is better, a fast start in fantasy or a hot finish? Obviously, the best thing would be to have both, and that is possible. But I will say that I always end up setting up my teams for the hot finish as opposed to the fast start. Just structurally, I like to, I don't typically have a ton of great running backs because I think you can kind of compile those guys on the waiver wire, you know, hitting on rookie receivers late, the whole thing. I like to set up my teams that way. However, Scott is really swaying me on the benefits of the fast start lately. Look, life is just a hell of a lot easier when you start 4-1, 5-0, etc. Okay, playing like with the lead there as the hot team. Well, even if you don't win the championship, just things are easier. It feels better. So, Dalton, I will ask you, because I think this is a big thing that I'm challenging myself on. What's better, fast start or hot finish?
Yeah, I totally get Scott's point too, especially with the nature of head-to-head beast that fantasy football is. You know, getting off to that hot start certainly has its benefits. Personally, while I don't give too much thought to that process, I'm drafting Breece Hall and JSN everywhere. So I guess my strategy is his patience, and it is trying to wait for that second half explosion. But obviously, merit to both here, and it can blow up in your face if that second half doesn't come to fruition, and or you're already out of the playoffs once those guys start doing well the final month or so of the year. So I get the merit to both sides, but I guess I fall on more of the patient and second half guy as someone all in on Breece Hall and JSN.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. Again, Scott is definitely challenging my thoughts on this. And I think overall, so much fantasy content now, like it within the bubble that you and I certainly exist in, is geared towards best ball content. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to win a bajillion dollars playing best ball. To the point that people are like, yeah, the only thing that matters is, you know, weeks 15, 16, 17, 18, whatever. It's just not the case for if you're actually playing season long fantasy and you're rocking with the ups and downs of a year. It's not, it just doesn't work that way. So I have been at least, again, changing my opinion on this potentially. So we'll track that kind of where I end up, finding myself on this scale. We'll track that. But last two here. Themes from this piece. Rookies to know. Dalton, I think rookies matter a lot this year. We have two big name running backs this year. Obviously, Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. I believe you're in on both guys. We'll talk about that in a second. We got multiple day one rookie quarterback starters, one of which we mentioned, Anthony Richardson. He could be an every week fantasy starter when he gets out there, and I think he's going to get out there sooner than later. And there's plenty of late season rookie wide receiver risers. You know, it has been beneficial to have those rookie receivers on your fantasy team when they're hitting their stride in the second half of the year. So I think rookies are going to matter a ton this year. They matter every year, but it might be more than ever this year, Dalton.
Alex Caruso tweeted this. The last five running backs to be drafted top 12, their rookie fantasy year finish was the RB2, RB11, RB8, RB2, and RB7. So that's four top eight finishes and another top 12 finish. And both Gibbs and Bijan were drafted in the top 12. So expect immediate production. Love both. I've been hyping Jackson Smith and Jigba all podcast. I originally said I had Jordan Addison ahead of him on my rankings. I do not anymore. I think JSN is the real deal. And what if Lockett or Metcalf get hurt? I mean, it's just ridiculous if you look at his college production. And and Geno Smith, it's a really nice, I think, marriage there. And even Pete Carroll quoted, I know, as we just said, warned everyone, don't trust his quotes, but he's coming out effusive being like, oh, I can't, there's no holding him back. He's going to be involved immediately. And that was when there was concern earlier that Geno's awesome out of 12 personnel. So that's like, oh, they might keep running two tight ends out there. But no, that's no concern. JSN's going to get immediate targets and he's going to be a possible league winner over the second half. There's been so many rookie receivers of this example in the past few years, and this one is just so glaringly 2023's edition.
I agree with you there. I think there's other potential guys that could be that. Like Quentin Johnston could be that guy. I think Zay Flowers could be that guy this year.
Is Zay Flowers not too small? Am I writing him off just because in my head I think I heard 165 and I've just completely, I'm shocked at how high he goes in fantasy drafts. I want you to talk, because I like Bateman and I don't think Beckham's totally washed and they even have Andrews. So I've been kind of like, just whoa, Flowers, isn't he 170 soaking wet? Or am I off and he's like a new Tyreek Hill and he's going to be legit? I would like you to specifically talk to me about Flowers.
Okay, so again, the Ravens will be very specifically featured in this piece, so I don't want to totally spoil that. But what I'll say about Zay Flowers, because I'm with you, I think Bateman, if he's healthy, can be very good. I don't think Beckham is totally washed, but I can also tell myself a story where Zay Flowers is the best receiver on this team if health is not cooperating with those two. I love Zay Flowers. I thought Bateman was a better prospect, but not by much. I love Zay Flowers because I think this is a guy you see in college line up at X, you see him line up in the slot, you see him line up at flanker, and you see him do everything. He wins after the catch. He wins at the catch point. He's a little inconsistent. He makes mistakes kind of like in a Deontay Johnson type way where he's a great route runner, but he's a little mistake prone. He's kind of high on the boneheaded play scale, but I don't think he's too small.
5'9", 182. You see him, I was exaggerating his weight. 5'9", 182. That's like what Dotson similar.
Now he did bulk up for the combine, right? Like, so there is he really going to play at 182? Okay. I don't know, but I think you see him in college play against physical press man coverage at a really high level. Okay. So I think I feel great about Zay Flowers as a player.
Okay. All right. Good to know. And yeah, my guy Bateman can't stay healthy. So yeah, I mean, it's obviously Beckham either. So all right. Okay. Good to know that, because he's certainly been in some draft rooms where people are excited.
Yeah. Okay. So I agree with you. And yeah, dude, what wood can I knock on for Bateman to stay healthy? Like, you know, my wife's got crystals on crystals on crystals here. Mm-hmm. Like, what spells can I cast to keep Bateman healthy? I would love to see it, but obviously got to keep, got to keep the hope alive, even if there is some, you know, not so great evidence to the contrary.
And did we
point.
Say Sam LaPorta and Dalton Kincaid, tight end, even two rookies that might immediately make impact? They're both those teams are. I'm still, you know, Dawson Knox there, but the Lions are flat out saying LaPorta. I mean, he might be their. They're not number two pass. Well, Gibbs would be the number two. I mean, behind Amon-Ra St. Brown, there's just, you know, it's very weak there. Jameson Williams is throwing punches in traffic, dropping in practice, dropping a bunch of balls apparently too. So chaos, a wide open depth chart there.
I didn't see he was throwing punches.
Yeah, I guess he threw a blow at a teammate. That's what I saw right before we started recording. Maybe it's fake news, but yeah.
No, Detroit Lions, Jameson Williams involved in skirmish at training camp. Interesting. Okay, anyways, but yeah, no, I'm with you. I didn't even put the rookie tight ends. What an idiot, because I agree. Like, people are very excited about Dalton Kincaid. And by the way, the Bills are singing the praises. Beat writers are singing the praises. Dalton Kincaid, like, that is going to be a thing. They've said he's his favorite Josh Allen's favorite target in training camp. And yeah, I mean, Andy might be able to take the victory lap on Sam LaPorta just because there's like no, and I mean, he is going to victory lap the hell out of that. He loves Sam LaPorta. He took him in like the ninth damn round of our mock draft or something crazy like that, right? Like, that Lions depth chart is set up for somebody else to thrive beyond Amon-Ra St. Brown, and it might just be LaPorta, man. That's a good call.
Yeah, a lot of interesting rookies this year for sure.
Okay, last one here. You can't have a draft season thing without talking about my guys. I'm going to save a good bit of mine for the piece. I'll give a few here in just a sec. But Dalton, I want to hear who, again, this is, doesn't have to be a final answer or anything, because it is, you know, right at the beginning of August. We'll form these opinions more and more as we get closer to real draft time. But who are some of the candidates to be your guys this year?
Breece Hall, as I keep saying, along with JSN. I love Tony Pollard. I've been willing to draft him aggressively. Rashad Penny, I keep talking about. Brandon Ayuk, on, man. Can he be drafted high enough? I mean, this guy is just lighting up training camp. He is the star. He's going to be the star of the 49ers offense. Obviously, McCaffrey is there as well, but I'm all in on Brandon Ayuk. And I'll give you a weird one, actually, here. Boring old veteran, a guy I even bet against you last year. Mike Evans is just falling so far in fantasy drafts, rounds after teammate Chris Godwin, even though stylistically, I'd argue the quarterback change may help Evans more. You know, he had the eighth most expected fantasy points last year. Love the new fantasy points suite data there. Ahead of Travis Kelce and CeeDee Lamb. You know, Evans scored 27 touchdowns the previous 2 years. I mean, I do not believe he's lost too much of a step. And Chris Godwin relied heavily on these designed targets last year. Their new coordinator does not do at all. Evans had a higher adjusted net yards per attempt with Josh McCown and Ryan Fitzpatrick than he did with Tom Brady, who just checked down to his running backs. I think people are overrating the quarterback switch there, and Evans is a real sneaky, boring, mid-round veteran wide receiver that I end up on a lot of my teams so far.
That is a very un-Dalton Del Don guy. You know, boring old veteran. You usually like 26 and under. That's it.
Well, yeah, all the rest I'm saying is all young guys. So I wanted to throw a curveball at you there. But man, Brandon Ayuk, how ridiculous. Is he going to be a top 10 receiver this year or top 5?
It's going to happen at some point, okay? It's going to happen at some point that he's going to have that like 1,400-yard season. And it could be this year, man. I really think it could be this year.
Yeah, so the beat writer said the top 5 players in a 49ers camp, he just listed Brandon Ayuk, BA, number 11, and different variations of Ayuk. Also a little Moody as well. I guess he's kicking everything in, but it's all Moody and Ayuk show in San Francisco.
Oh my God, I love it. Can I get that like tattooed on my forearm? Is that a tweet I can get tattooed on my forearm? I'd love to do that. Yeah, and I think Ayuk is definitely in contention to be one of my guys every year of his career.
Who was it? Someone said, Debo said you can't guard him in a phone book, man. This is the year. You were a couple years behind, but you were on it.
Yeah, I mean, I was like 2 years too early on the Brandon Ayuk season, but last year he already had that breakout year, so he's not like a breakout candidate, but I think he could make that level jump at some point, because he already is there as a player. He just needs the situation. You know the whole deal with Ayuk. So yeah, I'm with you on that one. A couple guys for me. Two receivers. Ayuk is probably in contention there. Calvin Ridley, I think, is going to end up being one of my guys this year. Totally just excited about him and that Jaguars offense. I love the concentrated potential nature of that passing game. Jahan Dotson, I want exposure to Washington's offense in some way. If Sam Howell is good, Dotson's going to be a value. And like, that's a great one too, because I love Terry McLaurin, and like, I don't think you have to hate Terry McLaurin to love Jahan Dotson. So those two are definitely going to be on my list. And then a couple running backs too. I think I'm going to end up being a big Alexander Madison guy, not just because he was a great interview on the podcast a couple weeks ago, but I have him ranked highest among all of us at Yahoo. And I just think that Vikings, we didn't talk about them as a great fantasy ecosystem, but I think they certainly contend to be one of the great fantasy ecosystems. And I just think he's going to moonwalk into volume. And I don't think he's a bad player. Like, I don't think he's one of these like dusty guys that just gets volume and like he only is a good bet because of volume. And lastly, Miles Sanders. If there's a running back dead zone this year, like both these guys are in it and I'm screwed. But I also think I'm gonna end up being a Miles Sanders guy too. So those are two receivers, two running backs I think that are probably gonna fit on my guys list.
Oh, I just want to further the Ridley hype. Jacksonville had the fourth most fantasy usage among wide receivers last year without Ridley there. I do see him. His practice drill versus Zay Jones looked like two different people there. He just said, I'm him, he declared. So 50-1 to lead the NFL in receiving yards. Let's go.
I love
the
that.
Talented Mr. Ridley.
I love that, man. It's a great bet. Because here's the deal. I said this on the last podcast, Dalton. If this was 2020, 2021 Calvin Ridley, I get that it's not. But if it was, I'd rank him like higher than Garrett Wilson and Amon-Ra St. Brown being paired with Trevor Lawrence. Like he would be in that range. And no matter how much steam he gets, he's not going to get up to that range. I love that bet.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm glad you're on board too. Obviously, I looked at the success rate. Looks like the guy knows how to run a route. So let's do this with budding star Lawrence. I've seen the second half too. They started throwing the ball more. Pass rate over expectation completely changed. They have some adults coaching now. So love it. Let's go Ridley.
Very excited about that Jaguars offense. But all right. Thank you, Dalton, for helping me do some of my work here for this piece. Again, I'm going to be linking to you a ton in it anyway. But advance thank you here. But that's going to do it for us today on the first episode of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. Dalton, I'm very glad that you were the one here to do this first episode with.
Thanks for having me, Matt. Good times.
All right. I mentioned it earlier. We've got a slew of new social handles, so please dial it into those. TikTok at Yahoo Fantasy Sports. How could you not want to follow that? Instagram at Yahoo Fantasy, Twitter or X. I don't even know what to say anymore. It's subscribe on X, right? It's totally throwing me off like this morning or yesterday when the like push notifications are the X black instead of the whatever. Whatever it is, you still need to be on there, okay? Because it's the best platform for breaking news. Twitter, X, whatever. X us, whatever. X us out at Yahoo Fantasy. I'm at @MattHarmon_BYB. That's at Dalton Del Don. You can, of course, also watch this show, because it is the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show, on YouTube at Yahoo Sports. Tomorrow, with a great guest, rankings versus projections. I promise there's a difference, and I promise you need to hear it. Until then, we're out.